And good afternoon, everybody. Glad you're with us. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Midday here on 88.1 WIPR. Kind of a sad day in Mudville yesterday. The Orioles ended their season last night with a heartbreaking loss in Toronto. As one of the announcers pointed out on the broadcast, we hit more home runs than any other team in baseball this year, but it was an 11th inning walk-off home run by Edwin Encarnacion that sent the O's packing. And as if to add insult to injury, the Nobel Prize in Physics was awarded yesterday, and once again, our director and engineer, Luke Spicknall, was overlooked for the honor. Now, we're delighted for David Thewlis, for Duncan Haldane, and Michael Kosterlitz, but Luke, he was robbed. He was robbed. 20 years we've been putting up with this. 20 years. We get our hopes up. Nobel Prize for Physics, it's announced. They're dashed. All right, so what do we have? What recourse do we have? Well, I think we can only do one thing, and that's, of course, talk about the debate last night. Indiana Governor Mike Pence and Virginia Senator Tim Kaine, they met in Farmville, Virginia, for a 90-minute conversation that had more than a few moments in which both candidates talked over themselves and the moderator, Elaine Quijano. So what did we learn? Did either vice presidential candidate move the needle for their respective campaigns? Adar Ayira and Richard Cross will join me a little later this afternoon to reflect on the contentious exchange. But first, let's turn to Janet Johnson, who covers the Trump campaign for The Washington Post. She joins us from her office in Washington for an update on the Trump campaign. Janet, it's good to have you back on the show. Thanks.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So the common wisdom this morning appears to be that Mike Pence had the upper hand and won the debate last night. Have you heard from folks in the Trump campaign? I assume they're going to agree with that assessment.
Oh, very, very much so. This was a victory that they needed and one that they're really celebrating. They felt like Governor Pence was able to remain calm, was able to stand up for Donald Trump on some things, to fully explain some of the campaign's positions. And they've been calling Tim Kaine unhinged in one tweet, kind of painting him as the Democrats tried painting Donald Trump after the first presidential debate.
Do you get this sense that the kind of week that Mr. Trump had last week with the release of a few pages of a 1995 tax return and then the New York Attorney General issuing a cease and desist letter to the foundation, and then he had that tweet storm in the middle of the night about Alicia Machado. Do you get the sense that those things are making a dent? I mean, what does the Trump campaign have to say? Do you think they needed a big win last night because of the week they'd had before?
Well, publicly, they say that everything's fine and that the media is just trying to create controversy where there is none. But I've been covering Donald Trump for the past year. I think last week was one of the worst weeks that he has had. He created controversy himself, and he kept it going day after day. And then the tax returns, and it was just one thing after another. And the campaign appears to be trying to give him opportunities to pivot out of those controversies. Sometimes he takes them, sometimes he doesn't, and keeps going on his own talking points. But the debate last night with Mike Pence doing well and getting so much praise this morning is an opportunity for them to kind of jump out of that terrible week that they had. But one big thing that happened last night is that, Mike Pence did not always stand up for Donald Trump, and he laid out some policy positions that seemed completely different from what Donald Trump has done. In some ways, they seem like they're not always running on the same ticket, and so it'll be interesting to see if that causes any conflict in the weeks to come.
Yeah, I mean, have they commented on that this morning? For example, Mr. Pence seemed to indicate that ground troops or, you know, direct military action, airstrikes against government-controlled troops in Syria was on the table. Had you ever heard Mr. Trump talk about anything like that? And has the campaign commented on that kind of thing this morning?
So that's one of the things that seems directly at odds with what Mr. Trump has said up to this point. Trump has praised Russia for the work that it's doing in Syria, even though Russia is aligned with the Assad regime, which is at odds with the United States. And so, you know, so far there has been no major formal response from the campaign. On the side, aides will say, you know, that Pence didn't say anything that was at odds with what Trump said, that they're completely on the same page on all things. But I think in the days to come, as those aides are in interviews where they really get directly asked about some of these things, they're going to have to shore that up.
I mean, do you think people are going to be interested in noticing, for example, that Governor Pence called Vladimir Putin a small and bullying leader, using those kinds of descriptors for a guy that Mr. Trump has praised in the past? I mean, it is interesting that their first reaction is always, oh, no, it didn't happen. But then when it's proved to have, in fact, happened, they don't seem to take very much of a hit, at least among their supporters. I mean, when you're at these rallies, are things like the tax returns or the fact that he perhaps hasn't paid taxes in 15 or 18 years, do those things, are those kinds of criticisms sticking at all or giving pause to any of the people at his rallies?
Well, there's two groups of voters here. There are the Trump supporters who are at the rallies, and chances are they're going to vote for him no matter what. Anything I ask them about, they have a way to explain away. You know, when it comes to the tax returns, they think that Donald Trump is a genius for being able to navigate the loopholes and not pay any more than he should have to. You know, on some of the comments that he's made about women, they might say, well, I don't know if I fully agree with those, but I really like other things. Those aren't the people that he needs to win over. It's the undecided voters or the people who aren't sure if they're going to vote or not on election day. And they're the ones who are not going to take the time to wait in line and go to a rally, but might turn on one of these debates or might catch coverage of one of these debates on morning television or the evening news. And those are the people that still need to be won over. And it kind of remains to be seen how damaging something like that tax return will be to Donald Trump.
You know, it seems to me that it's not going to be very damaging at all. I mean, because it's been out now for several days, and you know, most people or everybody agrees that he did nothing illegal, at least that we can tell from these three pages. He took advantage of the tax code the way anybody would. And this is obviously not going to upset anybody who is in a financial position to be able to also take advantage of the tax code. And for people with fewer or no resources, very, very few resources, it's not going to matter because, you know, they're not in a position to be able to take advantage of the tax code. So it's interesting that the not paying taxes business, I can't see how that's going to stick. I mean, what's your prognostication about that? Do you think there is a chance that at some point that kind of criticism is going to land a blow?
Yeah, so it's been interesting. I think this attack hasn't been as damaging as people thought it might be when it first hit. And the thing is, there's two parts to these stories. There's one that it's possible that he didn't pay federal income tax for 15 to 18 years. And I think a lot of people, again, he did nothing illegal. And so the Trump response to that has been kind of, don't hate me, hate the system, I'll change the system. And so that's been a hard one for the Clinton campaign to really stick on him. But then the other part of this is that he lost nearly $1 billion in 1 year in the 1990s, which a lot of voters remember as being a pretty good economic time. And that's the thing that the Clinton campaign is really trying to hammer him on, trying to say, this guy is not as good of a business leader as you think he is. Again, Trump spins this one to say, you're right, I did lose that much money. It's no secret. I've talked about it in my books. I've talked about it publicly. And you know what? I came back from that, and I'm stronger now than I was then. So that's one that could, I'm waiting to see how that one goes over with voters.
I mean, he's very proud of how he was able to manipulate the tax code and get it, you know, deductions that enabled him to perhaps not pay taxes for a long time. And he also says that because he knows the tax code so much better than Secretary Clinton, he's in a position to fix it. Has he ever actually talked about the tax code and what his policy or his policy proposals would be to reform the tax code? Does he talk about that at rallies or any other time?
He does. Last fall, he rolled out a tax plan that he's kind of reiterated in other speeches since then. Basically, he wants to bring down taxes for everyone. He's made vague references to getting rid of loopholes and getting rid of some of these deductions that benefit the wealthy. But he really hasn't given a list of what those would be and how he would do that.
When he debated Secretary Clinton for the first time last week, and folks, you should remember that I'm asking Jenna Johnson from The Washington Post questions about Donald Trump because that's the campaign she is covering. So we're not asking Jenna about the Clinton campaign. But the criticism of Mr. Trump was that he was unprepared. Have you heard from the campaign that he is approaching this next debate on Sunday night in any different way?
Well, he's doing more debate prep. He's preparing more. He's getting more up to speed on a lot of issues. I think the first debate was a moment for him to realize perhaps his shortcomings as a debater. People close to him hope that he takes that to heart and really tries to show up to the next debate better prepared and aware of what his weaknesses might be. But again, this is Donald Trump, and he does things his way. And so we'll see if he takes the advice of all those people around him who are trying to help him get prepared.
You had an interesting comment in a piece that you posted this morning, talking about the fact that the issue of whether or not either of these two vice presidential candidates passed the threshold of being prepared to be the president seems to have been off the table. And the assumption is that everybody says because of their legislative and political experience, they are qualified for the job. But it was kind of interesting that sort of never came up, whereas if it's a Sarah Palin, for example, people really did question whether or not she'd be able to step up. Does the Trump campaign have anything to say about that, about how Pence, enlivens and animates their ticket?
Yeah, I mean, experience, you're right. It's just really something that they didn't get grilled on. I mean, both of these men have experience at the state government level and in Washington. They both have voting records that voters can look to see where they stand on issues. And in an election year where you have two presidential candidates who are very, very well known and who are also unliked, their unfavorability ratings are the highest in history. So the role of the vice president has more so become one where they're trying to better explain the candidate at the top of the ticket, defend the candidate at the top of the ticket, more so than sell themselves as candidates for vice president.
Jenna Johnson is a reporter for The Washington Post. She has been covering the Trump campaign for more than a year. We will have links to her terrific reporting on our website, WIPR.org/midday. Jenna, thank you so much, and safe travels on the trail. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Take care. We'll talk to you soon. We're going to take a quick break now. Coming up, more analysis of the vice presidential debate with longtime Republican strategist Richard Cross and Adar Ayira of Associated Black Charities. You can join our conversation. You can drop me a tweet at Midday Tom Hall. You can send me an email, midday@wipr.org, or give us a call, 410-662-8780. We're back in exactly 90 seconds. Stick around.